Welcome back, colleagues. Everybody here yet? Item 8.9, Midlothian Council Digital Strategies, a report by Head of Finance and Integrated Service Support and Head of Education, Dr. Smith. Okay. Mr. Fairley.
Thanks, Provost. I'm happy to introduce the paper and other colleagues can answer any questions members have. Provost, this joint report asks Council to consider and approve a digital strategy for the Council and also, importantly, a strategy for digital learning. And it recognises the close alignment between the corporate digital infrastructure and also the provision of digital learning across the education estate. The strategies aim to align the Council's capabilities and requirements over a 4 to 5 year period. The Council-wide digital strategy recognises that our customers expect the provision of services by this Council in a digital way, and the strategy has a key role in creating a more effective and efficient range of digital services, encouraging collaboration, reducing duplication, and sharing services where possible. The four principles adopted will ensure services are designed around the customer with strong leadership and support for staff development of digital skills. The strategy also supports a balance between privacy and openness in respect of the data and information which the Council holds and which the Council uses, with solutions developed in partnership. In summary, the corporate digital strategy focuses on strong digital foundations, a series of digital services and digital leadership to deliver those. If I turn then and introduce the strategy for digital learning, that sets out the Council's vision for learning in what is a digital age to ensure that today's learners are equipped with the confidence, the skills required for learning, life and work in the 21st century. It's very closely aligned with the government's policy and advice on digital learning, and it also articulates with key national and local priorities. It encompasses four key aspects: the curriculum, learning and teaching, leadership, professional learning, and digital participation, and then infrastructure. Provost, both strategies have been developed through an extensive consultation process, and that includes with parents, with children and young people. And today, Council are asked to consider the recommendations set out in Section 5, and colleagues are here to answer any further questions members may have. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Fairley. Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, I'm very happy to move on recommendations here. We know the future is digital. We have so many digital services already. We're all accustomed to checking in online for aircraft flights and so on. In the digital education, in the Education Advisory Board, I realised I was a wee bit behind the times when one of the higher pupils at the committee talked in about emailing their homework into a teacher. I thought, oh my goodness, that's a big change from my days when we got the slates out the drawers and so on. However, in the second bullet point, my colleague on my right says, note the further reports will be presented to CMT. What about we could add the Cabinet to that as well for any resource requirements, just to keep us all involved? It's a valuable strategy and one I'm very happy to endorse.
Check your airplanes. I'll just check my bus things. Council happy to accept the recommendations in this report. Thank you. Item 8.10. Digital Centre for Excellence, New Battle Community High School, report by Head of Education, Dr. Smith? Oh, okay. Dr. Vickers.
Thank you. Following on from the previous report, the purpose of this particular report is to provide Council with an overview of the proposed development of New Battle High School as a digital centre of excellence. As part of our vision to create a world-class education for children and young people, the location of Midlothian's first centre of excellence at New Battle helps to address the challenges faced by one of the region's most disadvantaged communities. And it's hoped that the new provision will, amongst other benefits, help to tackle social and economic inequalities, promote digital inclusion and also improve outcomes and positive destinations for young people. Section 3 of the report outlines the main phases of the project, including the courses which will be offered. This section also highlights in 3.3 the importance of the technical specification required for this build, and section 3.4 outlines the case for a centre coordinator. Section 5 itself outlines the funding requirements, both capital and revenue, and section 6 outlines the project timeline, which we will follow in order to ensure that we're ready to open this new digital centre of excellence in March 2018. The final section concludes with 7 recommendations, 5 of which are for noting, and 2 which seek approval. Firstly, to approve the establishment of a digital centre of excellence at New Battle, and secondly, to approve the appointment of a centre coordinator and the allocation of £56,000 from reserves in 2017-18 to fund this post.
Thank you, Dr. Vickers. Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, for the reasons mentioned in the previous report, very happy to move this. It's an exciting prospect. We've got the new school coming in March 2018. It's a very exciting project. Our aim is that New Battle will eventually be one of the many centres for excellence based in our secondary schools across the county. Each centre will have its own specialism. For New Battle, the focus will be on digital industries such as games, development, informatics, graphic design, robotics and music production. Others will be focusing on creative industries, language, health and sport, and the science, of course, as well. Particularly pleased to see in F, recommendation F, that Colin Taylor will be coming back to help in the process in the new school. I'm happy to move the recommendations.
Thank you. Mr. Bourne.
Thanks, Provost. Once again, this is another excellent good news story, and I would echo everything that Bob and Grace have said. It's actually very nice to walk up there now and actually see the structure going up for this new fantastic community school. You know, we've spoken about it for a length of time, and it's lovely to see that. I do, however, particularly welcome this paper here, and I think the bullet points made in 2.1, which Grace highlighted, make the case very strongly. I certainly particularly focused on the last one, which was outcomes and positive destinations. Plus, also, the point is made about its importance for our young people in terms of further and higher education. There's no doubt that digital skills are absolutely crucial if you're going to work in that, as well as in the world of work and apprenticeships. I think the important point, I think it was Grace and Bob both made this, this involvement of outside bodies is key to the success of any of these things. It also does enhance, perhaps, the employment prospects of our young people. And just one final point. I hope that the baby boomers, the slightly older people, won't be forgotten in all of this. I think they will benefit in that community greatly from this provision, and I hope, therefore, that the community at large is involved in this project. Fantastic project. Well done to all those who've developed it. Thank you.
Councillor Muirhead.
Thanks, Provost. I absolutely welcome this paper. I feel I've really bought into this whole concept, the centres of excellence, and I really believe that it's fantastic that New Battle is going to be the first one of these. I'm particularly happy with the theme for that school. The software design, the programme coding, games development, publishing, digital engineering, all the forward-looking industries. And I think it's particularly important, not just to get youngsters in for that area involved in working for large electronics companies and manufacturing and things like that, but there are a lot of skills that can help them to become more entrepreneurial in their approach to things. It allows them to get skills that could help them to start businesses and stay in the area in which they've been born, brought up and taught in, because in a lot of cases that kind of work doesn't have any physical limitations as far as the boundaries and that are concerned. So you could be sitting in a back room in Gorebridge looking like you're a multinational company, because that's what they do. And you know, you can press ahead and make a real living for yourself doing that kind of work. And I'm particularly pleased that that's the kind of thing we're going to be encouraging our youngsters I accept that youngsters from other areas of Midlothian will be coming there as well. That's the whole point of the Centre of Excellence. But I'm particularly pleased that that's what's going to be in an area such as your one.
Councillor Constable. Yes, sir.
Just to reiterate what Councillor Muirhead and Mr Bourne have just said, as well as Councillor Constable, about it's an excellent good news story, particularly the outcomes and positive destinations. It was at a previous item it was mentioned that there's thousands of jobs about to disappear from the labour market over the next 15 years or so. Councillor Devine, yeah, that's correct. Thousands of jobs, but there's just as many jobs will be created, particularly within the digital and computing sphere. So this Centre of Excellence, it serves a real purpose, transforming Midlothian, hopefully, into a centre of excellence, not only for the school, but for the whole local authority. So I'm quite happy to second my colleague, Councillor Constable, and just once again, it's a fantastic good news story.
Councillor Devink.
Yeah, like everyone else, this is a good news story. But could the officials explain to me, and probably to all of us, exactly who is responsible for setting all this up? Is it going to be the IT department of the council, or is it others? I would really like to have an answer to that.
We would be working in partnership for that in terms of the infrastructure. We're going to be appointing an overall coordinator for this particular build. Given that we're going to be implementing some highly specialised courses, the centre coordinator that we're asking for funding for will be taking ownership over the coordination of that in particular. Also through the city deal, we've been having very, very positive conversations with the University of Edinburgh, and only this week we've actually linked up with a professor at the university, including the Department of Informatics, in order to take that forward.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Provost. At the recent parent council meeting at Newbattle, the parents were quite intrigued by this whole notion. One of the points that Councillor Muirhead made when he was speaking a moment ago was the fact that this won't be exclusively for the people who live in this area, as the centres of excellence are intended to work rather differently than that. And I think that's an important point, that we do make sure that residents of Midlothian are clear in that understanding. I think it's such a new concept for many people who are used to more traditional models of geographical locations of learning that relate to the residents of that area, that this idea of a centre of excellence being for a much wider application is quite challenging if they're not made very clear about it. And I would urge our officials to make that absolutely abundantly clear in any information that they're putting out to the public. But over and above that, I have to say that the excitement that was quite palpable at the parent council meeting, in between the distress at the news that Colin Taylor is retiring, there were a number of comments that sincerely suggested that he should perhaps stay for the next 30 or 40 years. He resisted the temptation, I assure you, but there was great enthusiasm for this initiative, and the only negative comment that was voiced was, can't we have it sooner, please? So I also pass on from that parent council their appreciation of all the work that's going on to make this possible, and their enthusiastic support for it, and can they do anything to help, was all they had to say. Thank you.
Council happy to accept the recommendations in this report. Thank you. Item 8.11, educational use of former Hopefield Primary School site, report by the Director of Education, Communities and Economy, Dr. Smith. Oh.
My apologies. The purpose of this report is to provide an update and recommendation for the use of a new primary school to be built on the former Hopefield site. as requested at the Council meeting on the 20th of December. You'll be aware in May 2016 we had agreed on a two-stream non-denominational school in the Hopefield area. However, we've since had a further meeting with our elected members for the area, with our community councils, with our parent teachers associations, with our schools, and we're revising the May decision and ask that the council approve that we authorise that Hopefield, the former Hopefield site, becomes a single stream school attached to Burnbrae, and a single stream replacement for St Mary's Primary School. The recommendations are on page 309. And authorise officers to commence formal consultation on the relocation of St Mary's. Members will be aware we can't do formal consultation until we actually have the end destination of where someone's going. So we need to start that consultation. So my apologies for being a bit tardy there.
Thank you, Dr Smith. Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, I'm glad that this has proved possible. It is a solution to the thing of St Mary's, which is needing replacement. The site will be particularly convenient for the church, Our Lady of Consolation, just being across the road. It's very important that the other educational provision, and it be kept flexible for Burnbrae Primary School to use as required. So we're very happy to move for the recommendations.
Councillor Mulligan.
Thanks, Provost. Yeah, very welcome report. I think this is the result of good thinking and taking things forward that will actually resolve quite a few problems in the Bonnyrigg area. Notwithstanding that we still have a major problem down the bottom end for schooling, this resolves quite a few of the problems we have up the top end of Bonnyrigg. I'm very, very keen that this goes forward. I'm also very keen, and I made the point yesterday, Mary, and thank you for having the meeting with us. It was quite a constructive meeting, and the points I made yesterday that we consult quite quickly on what we want here, make sure the children are involved in the consultation and the parents and the schools are involved in them. However, we really need to move ahead as fast as we can. I will make the point that I want to make again, and I made yesterday, is special attention needs to be given to any road layout and parking around this new school. It's going to be a bigger school than what it was. It's going to be a Catholic school, a part Catholic school, which has a very much wider catchment area. It's fit all over the Bonnyrigg, Polton Hall areas. So therefore, public transport isn't it as greatest for some of the areas for there, so I think we really need to make sure that we get parking and that we're right next to Lasswead High School, so therefore you're competing with traffic and children going in and out of your biggest single high school at roughly the same time, so we really need to make sure that we get the bits right. But I think the most important factor here is that we consult with both Burnbrae parents and St Mary's parents to make sure that working arrangements are good. Vic gave a very sound idea yesterday about visiting similar schools that work there for perhaps the two school councils, etc., to give an idea of what works well, what doesn't, what can be better. So I think that would be very welcome, but I think this is a great result for both St Mary's and Burnbrae Primary.
Mr Bourne.
Thank you, Provost. You will imagine that I am delighted at what is contained in this paper. It's been a long discussion, but I believe the outcome is very positive. And I would like to thank the elected members and the senior officials, some of whom are here today, for supporting this proposal and bringing forward a practical solution to this. As Derek said, yesterday he and I and some of the officials in the chamber today attended a meeting about primary schools in Bonnyrigg and Lasswade. And I've been conscious, particularly with my discussions with Derek, that I have to view this as a whole picture. It's a very complicated picture. And I probably wasn't aware of the complexities of all these plots until I saw the discussions yesterday, which were highlighted by Derek and some of the officials in the chamber showing these areas. So we are looking at a solution for the Bonnyrigg and Lasswade area, and I'm keen to support that. But as Derek said, there was a positiveness about the meeting yesterday that really I was absolutely delighted about. And it's very clear that the two schools in Vaughan, Burnbrae and St Mary's, are already starting to talk to each other. And I got a very positive buzz across the table. So I think it will be important that the parents, the head teachers, the teachers and the pupils are heavily involved in this project, and this was raised at yesterday's meeting. Now, I'm not talking about nitpicking and micromanagement here. I'm talking about meaningful involvement in this project. And finally, I would again highlight the point that Derek made. We have an existing joint campus, a very successful joint campus in Lonehead Primary and St Margaret's. I would encourage the two school parent councils and the staff to look at that model, because it has definitely worked from day one, and I think it's a very good model. So thanks again to everybody. I have to say I'm absolutely over the moon about this. Cheers.
Thank you. Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. Yeah, I'd echo many of the comments made. There's been a lot of liaison with the parent councils, with the elected members, and it's gone very, very smoothly. Just touching on something Derek mentioned earlier about parking, etc., I'm conscious of the fact that many of the children will be coming from the Hopefield area, and there is no road between there and the school, but there is a very good cycle walkway and some very maturing paths now. What I would say is that we need to be sure that we build into the design the encouragement for our children to walk, to cycle, to scooter, to school across these paths. Make sure they're lit, make sure they're well marked, they're protected, and that they're gritted when the children do attend the school.
Thank you. Council, happy to accept the recommendations in this report. Thank you. Item 8.12, Community Empowerment Act Implementation, report by Director of Education, Communities and Economy, Dr Smith.
Thank you. I have this one, you'll be pleased to know. This report seeks to update Council on the progress and the implementation on the various parts of the Community Empowerment Act. Section 2.1 outlines asset transfer requirements of the Act, and Section 2.2 outlines the governance arrangements which came into force in December 2016. Section 2.3 outlines the right to participate in decision-making and outlines that regulations are expected early 2017. And Section 2.4 outlines the issues regarding the Land Reform Act and whether land can be bought by a community body. Section 4 sets out the recommendations, and Council is requested to consider the recommendations as set out on page 319. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr Smith. Councillor Bryant.
Thank you, Provost. Thank you, Mary, for that. This Act, which is now in the statute book, will have a wide and sweeping impact on the communities that we serve. Acquiring land and buildings provides communities an opportunity to deliver services. It provides opportunities for jobs, skills development and opportunities to generate income and, importantly, create a sense of community. There is still a lot of work to be done to ensure our communities are given support and are in a position to manage the assets they acquire so that any handover is sustainable in the long term. I would like to propose that we note both recommendations and ask Mary that she could arrange a seminar for the new councillors coming in, both serving at the moment and new ones.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. I remember when this proposal came forward quite some time ago, I asked the question about do we keep a register of buildings and land which could be disposed of by this process? And I was told at the time that there was one being worked on for buildings, but not for land. Can I ask the officers what the current situation is with regard to disposable land that we may keep a note of?
Who do we address on this?
Mr. Sherritt.
Mr. Sherritt, could you come forward? You're getting the blame.
In terms of the buildings, there is an asset register for that now, and that will always be made public when the Act comes into force. The Land Register, my colleague Ricky Muffett actually has the land asset base, and I presume the intention would be to amalgamate both of those into one, so therefore it becomes available to the general public at that point.
Council, happy to accept this report. Thank you. Item 8.13, consultation response to the UK Green Paper, Work, Health and Disability, report by Director, Education, Communities and Economy, Dr Smith.
This report, thank you, Provost. This report sets out the Community Planning Partnership's response to the UK Government's consultation on work, health and disability, and Council is requested to note the Partnership's response. Thank you.
Councillor Bryant.
Thanks, Provost. Thanks again, Mary. I have an autistic son, so this is particularly of interest to me. The employment rates among disabled people reveals one of the most significant inequalities in this country today. 48% of disabled people are in employment compared to 80% of the other part of the country. So I'm delighted this paper is coming forward.
Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. I support what Jim said. Also, when I was reading through that, I was pleased to note that this council notes that we should be linking health with employment better, so that people like Jamie's son do have better access to employment. I think that's really important, and I hope that we can break down the barriers with the DWP and other such government organisations to make this happen. Thank you.
Council, happy to accept this report. Thank you. Item 8.14, MAPA Annual Report 2015-16, report by Joint Director, Health and Social Care, Ms McHugh.
Thank you, Provost. This report covers two reports. One is the Lothian Annual Report on MAPA across the Lothian area, but the other report is the outcome of a MAPA joint thematic review that was carried out by the Care Inspectorate and HMICS. I'll just draw members' attention to the key findings of the MAPA joint thematic review, and I know that they will be reassured by it, mainly that overall across Scotland the findings were very positive. MAPA was found to be well established with robust arrangements in place for the management of registered sex offenders. While MAPA cannot eliminate risk, but it is working effectively and makes a critical contribution to keeping communities safe. Registered sex offenders are managed at the appropriate risk level and supported by risk management plans, and professionals are working effectively through shared responsibility and good information sharing, which is so critical. The report also went on to make 17 recommendations for further improvement, which are being, as the attached documentation will evidence, are being brought forward in terms of further improvement of what is, in effect, a very effective way of managing offenders. The annual report for MAPA also shows a considerable degree of stability in terms of how sex offenders are managed locally here in Mid Lothian. Members are asked to note the reports.
Thank you, Ms McHugh. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. I agree we should note this recommendation, and the report demonstrates that the MAPA partnerships are ensuring these serious offenders are managed in our communities and keeping us as safe as humanly possible, and we should all support the MAPA management as much as we can. Thank you.
Council, happy to accept this report. Thank you. Item 8.15, East Lothian and Mid Lothian Public Protection Committee Biennial Report 2014-16, report by Joint Director, Health and Social Care, Ms McHugh.
This is the biannual public protection report that the convener of the Public Protection Committee is required to submit to Scottish Government, and it covers all of the activity in relation to adult protection. The report highlights the key strengths of the current joint arrangements with East Lothian, particularly in relation to strategic and policy development, how case reviews are conducted and the sharing of good practice. It also highlights the positive approach to having a lifespan approach to managing risks presented to vulnerable people. Members are asked to note the content of the report.
Thanks, Ms. McHugh. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you very much. I agree we should note these recommendations and the progress being made. The joint working, the sharing of the premises with partners in East Lothian, our neighbouring council is bringing benefits to many of our communities. Even just sitting in the big room listening to what's happening must be a big benefit to most people. A secondary benefit, which is like even more pleasing to me, it's reducing the carbon footprint because there's no loads of travelling to and from meetings. So that was a bonus I liked. Thank you.
Council, happy to accept this report. Thank you. We're now moving.